Blog Talk Radio.
Indeed, and a very good Sunday morning to everyone. And listen, welcome back. Welcome back to our Frat House Sports Garage for today's edition of our Race Trim Motorsports Hour. I am your host, Uncle Mark, and thanks for stopping by to kick the tires with us before we go green flag at the biggest and baddest track on the NASCAR circuit. This is the big one. And as many of you probably know, if you're listening, the odds would suggest that we will witness one, well, perhaps more than just one big one today, down at the Talladega Super Speedway in good old you-know-where, Sweet Home, Alabama. Yeah, buddy. Oh, absolutely. And this morning I'm going to be joined by my crew chief, Brandon. He's going to be doing double duty as our spotter on top of the pit box. And we're counting on hearing from our own favorite pilot coming to us from Frat House West, and that would be our own sidekick. Now, here's what we're going to do today, folks. We're going to review last week's Sunday race. Well, it became a Sunday race after torrents of rain pushed NASCAR off schedule for what was planned to be a Saturday night event. And we'll get into all that. As well as, well, last week we saw another first race winner for 2015. So we have seven of those now through nine events. Also in the news during the week, we learned that A, Danica Patrick will not retain primary sponsor GoDaddy for the number 10 Stuart Haas Chevy after this 2015 year, and B, we confirmed that, well, the deal is done. They've struck the deal. Fill-in pilot David Reagan will officially jump over into the number 55 Aaron's Dream Machine from Michael Waltrip Racing through the remainder of the Sprint Cup season, right on through the chase. So he's leaving out entirely from his part-time gig, I guess, filling in over at Joe Gibbs Racing. And, of course, it does not appear he's returning at all to Front Row Racing. So we're going to speculate on what the possibilities are for those two drivers going forward. Of course, we'll offer our best previews and prognostications on the Geico 500 event today in Talladega. And really, who ought to be on your fantasy roster? Come on now. We're going to jump over the pit wall. We'll chat a couple loose lug nut stories like we always do. And we're taking your calls. Don't forget, we only do this for you. So give us a call, 347-826-9964. Or if you've got the computer savvy, you can hit the Skype button and Skype on in with us now. The coffee's on. Let me introduce and bring in our panel this morning. I believe I have Brandon with me. Good morning, Brandon. How are you?
We're good. We're good. I'm ready
yeah,
to talk
man.
Some NASCAR and then watch some NASCAR.
Absolutely. That's what's sort of fun about this particular one, the way that the race falls. It'll be kicking off 1:15 or so green flag. So we'll be taking everybody pretty much right up to the start of coverage on Fox. Tell us what you did last night, Brandon. You were out. You've got a good voice, though, considering you went to a concert, no?
Yeah, I went to see a concert.
Did you? Was there a lot of screaming?
Oh, yeah, a little bit. Saw some Godsmack. It's a little loud, but I still, you know, still like it.
Okay.
I'm doing all right. I was a little disappointed. I was hoping to get home to, you know, watch the rest of that big fight with you and
yes,
Frat
indeed.
House Mike and
right.
I had to sit in traffic for 40 minutes just to get out of a parking garage.
Yeah,
if I'd
buddy.
Had that 40 minutes, we'd have been, I'd have been
You'd
golden.
Have been
I'd
fine.
Have been seen half of it, right.
Yeah, so. Well, listen, what do you say? What are the odds that we're going to hear some kind of cheesy reference today on Fox's coverage to the Pacquiao and Mayweather fight? What do you think the odds are? I think the odds are pretty good. We're going
to
hear CW make some kind of...
It'll
make
crazy.
It's
close to 100, yeah. As you can find.
Yeah, I mean,
they're good
I don't...
for that.
I'm not sure if I want to go into any kind of take on what I think might be said, but yeah, you can bet, folks, if you're out there, you'll probably hear at least some kind of cheesy thing, whether it be Chris Myers or DW. Somebody's going to mention the Pacquiao Mayweather event from last night.
You know who to watch? The one to watch will be Harvick. If they get a pre-race interview with Harvick, because he's really into MMA, he'll take some kind of jab about all the running around in the fight last night, all the dancing around and running. If anybody's going to do it from a driver's point of view, Harvick's the one to watch. just throwing that in there.
Yeah, okay.
You're mocking me, aren't you?
Well, no, actually, we don't mean anything by it, champ. We're not really mocking you, but I'm going to pay a particular mind and see if, in fact, you're right about that, Brandon. Now, we are waiting for our sidekick to check in with us. He is coming to us from Frat House West out there in Missouri.
Midwest.
Midwest, my fault. Well, it's all west from us, isn't it?
That's
but
true.
Yeah, Frat House Sports Midwest. So he's going to be joining with us as we go forward. What we could do, I guess, to kick it up, let's chat a little bit about what we saw last week, as I mentioned in the opening. And Brandon, you could, I guess, attest to, from a very personal standpoint, the event in Richmond was slated to kick up on Saturday night. It was going to be our first scheduled night race. Now, we've already seen one race go into the night. Now, here we go. Here it was again. Just torrential rain at the Toyota Owners 400. Brandon, you were down there. I mean, how bad really was it, right? I mean, holy crap.
It was
crow.
Just miserable. It was pouring rain. It was damp. It was chilly. It was just, you know, they decided pretty early. I mean, I don't think we were there for 2 hours and they decided they weren't racing that night.
Right.
That's usually a little odd. They generally try to hold on a little bit. But, you know, NASCAR did what they thought they needed to do. And, you know, just because of schedules of people I was with and stuff, I wasn't able to stay. And when I got home and we kind of caught the very, very end of it, you could see half the stands were empty.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of delay, it's just, in today's world, I think it's tough for people to change their plans, you know, on a moment's notice sometimes. And I think that's a little detrimental. I think that's one of the reasons NASCAR does try so hard to get the race in.
Mm-hmm.
When it's supposed to be, because
yeah.
of travel plans, et cetera, and, you know, they want to try to make everybody happy. So,
right.
You know, unfortunately, with any kind of racing, for the most part, you know, weather's going to be a problem at time to time, and there are a few forms of racing that'll play in the rain, but even the ones that do, like, a wet motorcycle race or Formula One or Indy and, you know, the road course tires, you know, they're not as fun
yeah.
to watch. You can tell. You can
yeah.
tell the drivers aren't going as fast, so, you know, rain in a racetrack, they're just no fun. The only exception I might make is, and you might get a chance to see this summer, Uncle Mark, during the summer outdoor motocross season, if you ever mm-hmm. get a rainy weekend and the track gets all muddy and stuff, some of that's fun to watch because these guys come out looking like they've been rolling in the mud.
Rolling?
And they don't.
Yeah, exactly.
They race full bore, man.
Yeah, well, it does make for a fun event, and like you say, in the two-wheelers, you know, I guess there's not nearly as much risk,
no.
although those guys are flying. I mean, they're flying, they're jumping, there's something to it, but
there's a bit of risk on the road racing motorcycles that I'm a little uncomfortable with, because
yeah.
inevitably you'll see guys wreck, like, half the field wrecks when they race in the rain, and I just, you know, it's just not my thing. Now, the motocross, you know, they're fine. They can run them anywhere because they got big knobby tires. You know,
right,
the half the track, they actually put water on the track to get so the mud doesn't get
dry. To make
dry.
It more gushy.
Yeah, well, it just gets
exactly.
the other extreme. But it actually slows the bike down, and it's also a softer landing because you're landing in mud instead of hard ground. So, you know, I think that's the only form where I don't really think you have too much driver, rider, threat from the rain. But and it is kind of enjoying to watch. I wouldn't want to watch everyone that way, but when you get one or two a year, it's fun to watch all the mud fly off the back tire as they're ripping through the turn. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, and you sit there, I'm sure you sit there vicariously enjoying it, saying, I could do that still. I know I can do that stuff.
But I don't want to get muddy.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I don't want to get dirty. And, you know, back to your point, I mean, with the Richmond crowd, you know, you're absolutely right. The cost of attending a race in person has certainly not gone down. Probably has gone up dramatically as we've looked at it over the years. And you're, you know, again, to your point, folks make it a whole week event or a very extended weekend event. You know, getting down to the location, you know, in last week's event, it would have been Richmond, you know, getting to a campsite, you know, on a Wednesday evening for, you know, a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, maybe leave out of there Monday or leave out of there Sunday following the event or, you know, it had it gone off Saturday night, certainly first thing Sunday morning folks would have been looking to pull up pegs and hit the road. But
that's
I
the
give
model
credit.
For the Saturday night, unfortunately,
right.
And that's why this change was, you know, pretty bad. I will say this, and I don't understand why NASCAR chose to do it this way. Normally, they try to start races the next day early. They shoot for like an 11 a.m. start.
Right.
If they'd have done that, I probably would have been able to at least see about half the race and then make it home in a reasonable enough time, you know, that, you know, the people I were traveling with could have got their stuff done. And
right.
But they came right out from the beginning and said 1 o'clock. And I'm like, you know, you're starting it that late. And you start doing that math, you know, a 4.5-5 hour ride after a 4 hour race, you're talking about, you know, 10, 11, 12 at night. It just, you know, that's what kills it, unfortunately.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And Richmond is one of those, I don't think you'd want to make it a shorter event. It's such a fun track that I really enjoyed. I'm not going to lie. I really enjoyed the race, and we'll chat about some of the details of it. But I thought it was a pretty good event.
I'm sure it is. I mean, I think I said on the show last week, I've been going down there since 1992. I've had permanent seats, so I go to at least one a year. I mean, I used to go to every one. And then I go to other races, but that's before I was really into the motorcycles the way I am, and now I can't divide time, so you can't do everything anymore. But I still do the Richmond because I like Richmond, as you pointed out. It's a great track to watch a race. It's always entertaining. You get a lot of side-by-side action. It's still a short track, but it's a faster short track for sure.
Boy, is it. Is it.
So, you know. It's a great place to just sit and enjoy and watch a race. I kind of feel bad that I didn't see it because I already have a commitment for September. I can't go to the second one, so I'll miss the Richmond race this year, unfortunately, but that's all right.
Yeah, we were all disappointed. We were very disappointed for you, those of us back here at the Pratt House last weekend, because we saw that it was, despite your best effort, and you drove all the way down and drove all the way back to have missed the entire event. It was heartbreaking, and we did feel for you, buddy. There he
is.
Sidekick just popped in. He's like Kazoo.
True.
He just pops in.
Yeah, boom. He's there.
Yeah.
What's up?
How are you?
A NASCAR fan clears his schedule for at least 48 hours after a race.
Well, Jim,
I don't know. I think that's a diss.
Steve, I was fine.
I think you're dissing.
I know.
You're mocking me, aren't you?
Had to do a little work like you and I do in our real jobs, and his child needed to do some schoolwork. And I know you've been there with the child unit needing to be schoolwork. So, you know, I actually could have been fine. I mean, I would have been dead at work on Monday, but, you know,
we'll see.
The traveling companions had, you know, issues. Not bad.
Absolutely.
How to do them, you know.
Yeah.
You know, when we do Daytona, the past couple of years when we do Daytona, when we're scheduling everything out, I'm like, hey, we need to not fly back until Tuesday morning at a minimum, you know, because if there's, you know, because we're, you know, you're now Richmond, it's a 5 hour drive. It's a pain to drive back and forth, but you know, you're still relatively close, but something like, you know, Daytona, you know, it's like, I'm like, you know what? We're not leaving until Tuesday morning. That way, we get at least one chance if the race gets rained out. You know, and I'm in the process of trying to make arrangements to go to Homestead, Miami. And Jen and I have been doing the same thing. We're looking at the calendar. We're like, okay, the race is Sunday, you know, so Monday, you know, we'll leave that an open day and we'll, you know, and stuff like that. So, cause you get, you know, you go so far, it's like, oh man, you hate to, you know, oh, it rained. Now we got to fly back tomorrow and miss the race. So,
no, I agree with you further. On the further trips like that, if I was doing the Vegas thing, because that's if I was going to go to a NASCAR race, I would tie it to something else. Like I'd go to Vegas. You seem to tie it into Disney, I guess, is what you're doing for the Homestead. Is that kind of what you're tying that into?
We're doing Disney the week before. Actually, we're talking about possibly going down to Key West as well. That's Monday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the race gets rained out, you know, we'll have it. And if it doesn't get rained out, we're going to go down to Key West.
That's a good plan.
So
that's a great plan. But, yeah. Kill a whole bunch of birds with one stone right there.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, that's good, man. I'm glad you're all with us. We'll put the number out there, 347-826-9964. Anybody who's out there and wants to join in with us, feel free to do that or Skype in if you are computer savvy and Skype capable. I don't know if the chat room's open. I never do all that stuff. Maybe one of you who are in studio. Oh, okay, good looking out. Let's chat real briefly then about last week. We had the first-time winner. There he was, and I think there was a collective sense from many in the NASCAR community of relief and applause that Kurt Busch, he shook off some demons. He settled some scores. He dominated, absolutely dominated at Richmond. I did say it was a fun event. However, the guy had a career single race high of 291 laps led. And he took the checkers. He had a ridiculously crazy 148.1 driver rating for the event. I mean, I don't know what perfect is, men, but that's got to be very near a perfect driver rating. We had a dozen lead changes among essentially six drivers and Logano. Joey Logano was really the only other lap leader of note. He amassed 94 laps of the first 400. He seemed to be untouchable for a minute. But eventually, I guess, competition and changes to the track, he wasn't able to maintain that dominance and he kind of fell back in. Apart from a competition caution, of course, we knew that was coming. Once they moved the race to Sunday, we knew there was going to be a competition caution. I don't know why they don't do it in the last 50 laps, but no, they do it at the first 50. But okay, you know, either way, I suppose. There were just seven other cautions, so it wasn't, a NASCAR bogged down event. Four were for debris issues, and three were spins and contact. I'll tell you what, you know, I'm not a big fan of the Hendrick guys, but looking back at it, it was amazing to me that after relying on provisional points to qualify, teammates Jimmy Johnson and Casey Kane, after starting from 36th and 40th in the field, finished 3rd and 6th. Wait, what? What? And I guess, you know, I'll piggyback that with a kind of a shout-out for Chase Elliott. Only his second Sprint Cup event. He certainly did much better than he did earlier in Martinsville, which we'll all agree was a very, very tough track for a rookie to have to start a Sprint Cup career at. But he wound up in the top 20. He qualified and finished 16th. Not too terribly bad for the HMS gang, huh? Despite the fact it was a Busch win. It was extensive rain delays, as we said, and of course, you know, it was Mother Nature, I guess, turning things around and making up for the prior week. When in fact, you know, a rain, we haven't seen it too much. A rain delay affected last year at this time, if you guys remember, we had probably five events already or six events already at this time of year had been drastically affected by the rain, but not so much this year. So we have been kind of fortunate. What's your take? Should they just make that a Sunday race, that early spring race? A lot of chatter in social media. That's what they ought to do. Any thoughts about that?
Well, from my point of view, I like the night race. I like the Saturday night race, so I wouldn't want to see a change. And I think the attendance has been pretty good for all the Saturday night races. I think that's why we see more and more of them popping up. So I'm kind of surprised at that the social media trend would be the other way, because, you know, when you already – if you see your results from the track, I would think you'd want to – that means people want to see it that way. So I'm kind of surprised it's the other way around. What do you think, Sidekick? You like the Saturday or you want the Sunday?
I like the Saturday races, and to be honest, a lot of that social media going on is probably all those keyboard warriors.
Yeah.
You know, the NASCAR fans are at the track. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And the casual fans are at home sitting there in front of the TV.
Well, let me just put it to you this way. As the summer comes along and we start getting them 80, 90-degree days in some of these southern states where some of these races are, that Saturday night with the sun down and the lights on is a lot much more enjoyable from a fan's point of view to watch a race. I'll tell you that. I've been in the oven cookers of racetracks when, you know, the sun's beating down on you. And, you know, it's a little tough. And that's some of the reasons they move some of these states around, trying to get the, the weather right in these locations. But, you know, you still hit some of them. I could imagine back in the day, Dave was just talking about, or Sidekick was just talking about Daytona. Before they moved that second race to a night race, they were always cooking people down there in the middle of the hot sun and July of Florida.
I kind of like watching the cars under the lights.
Yeah, they look neater too. You're right.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
You know,
I like seeing all the sparks and stuff.
Yeah.
You can see the sparks coming from underneath the carriages and stuff when they're taking off.
You see the rotors glowing on the brakes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You can't see any of that during the day.
Yeah. And the other thing is, you know, you can't control Mother Nature.
No.
We play outdoors. Yep.
Yeah. As much as you try to move races around and try to do stuff to, you know, get a step up on Mother Nature, the point is the NASCAR season starts up in February. And you go through the rainy months. You go through the rainy season. You know what I mean? You're bound to have rain delays or that potential. You know what I mean? And it's unfortunate, but it's one of those factors that we can't really control. Unless you're going to start putting all the tracks under domes and stuff. You know, and then what kind of fun is that?
What kind of product are you getting there? Yeah, I agree with you.
You're just gonna get exhaust fumed.
I was gonna say you're gonna get asphyxiated fans. I don't think that would work.
Yeah.
They've tried similar things.
I mean, like put a giant tarp over, like an outdoor parking garage or something. But yeah, it's just one of those things you got to deal with in racing. You know, unfortunately. So
you move on and you hope the next time it's better. That's all you can do.
I'm not
mad about it. I mean, you know, it is what it is. I'm not saying it's fun driving, you know, 6 hours each way not to do it, you know, not to see anything. But we hung out, had a good time, you know, cooked out a little food, had a few libations. Not bad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It could have been worse. There's worse ways to spend a night.
Yeah.
You've been there. You know what it's like, cooking out, eating, and partying.
I've gone camping and, you know, you schedule to go camping and you're out there and then it rains all weekend. You know, that's no fun.
Nah.
You know,
no, not too much. Not too much. Now, just a couple more passing thoughts before we move off from last week's event. Logano, Harvick, Truex in the, mayhem that was the Bristol race. We saw all of their top 10 finishes vanish. Well, they all got back on track last week. You know, Logano finished fifth, Harvick came in second, and Martin Truex got his top 10 with a 10th place finish. So they've all kind of they put a couple more notches on the peg to see if they can get that st- streak going once again. There were a couple quiet surprises for me, and I'm going to name them here. I mean, Jamie McMurray quietly came in fourth from ninth starting position. I mentioned Johnson and Kane. I mean, they came from clear at the back of the field to get their two top 10 finishes. Dale Jr. ultimately finished 14th from 26th, had a nice day till close to the end when he hooked it up with Stewart, and I'm going to chat about that. And also Ryan Newman, I'll give him props. He wound up 11th from 23rd. There were quite a few even Steven guys. I mean, Kyle Larson, we're expecting him to get his first Sprint Cup win any day now. But he wound up finishing 12th from 12th. Menard, Paul Menard, another guy that's quietly in there, always competitive, finished 15th from 15th. I mentioned Chase Elliott, came in 16th from 16th. Carl Edwards, I don't know, can he find the start button? He wound up 19th from 18th. So all those four drivers who we might, you know, we can all envision any of those that I mentioned in, you know, the winner's circle, all kind of just ran mid-pack and stayed there. I think some noisy bad finishes would have been the guys that went the wrong direction. As we know, Brett Moffitt is not going to be in the 55 for Michael Waltrip Racing going forward. Perhaps that played into his day, perhaps just the track changes being a day race from a night race played into it. He wound up a disappointing 29th after starting 14th. David Reagan, we're going to chat about his move upcoming as well. He finished 23rd from a very promising 10th. He started 10th on the event day. Brad Keselowski, 17th from 7. And biggest disappointment of the day had to be Denny Hamlin crossing the line at 22nd position after starting on the second position. I mean, my goodness, he was right there at the front. Stewart, he ran actually well before that late accident. That was right around laps like 360. Another disappointing finish, 41st after running in or near the top 12 through like the last third of the race. He actually was coming on. He was starting to feel it. Second week in a row that he had some contact that ended his day. The week prior, it was Casey Kane, who I just found his comments following Bristol to be very amusing, essentially saying, well, I don't know, he got excited. He was running better than average. In this case, though, no, Stewart was pretty vocal about the fact there was contact made with Dale Jr., and, you know, Jr.'s response after the fact was, quote, well, it's never his fault. What was your take on it? Did you see that little, I didn't see contact, I'll be honest with you. I think there was a little bit of air between cars, but I don't think there was contact, and I don't find Dale Jr. at fault. What's wrong with smoke? What's going on there?
I'll let Sidekick talk because I'm sure he's seen more of it than I did. But
well, the problem,
go there.
The problem with smoke is that he's kind of that fire's kind of cooled off. It's not so smoky anymore. He's got to change something. Either he needs to switch up, you know, his team and that, or he needs to think about getting out of that car. He's just not, you know, been, you know, the past couple of years since he took over that team, he's not really been there, you know what I mean, as far as, you know, being competitive and stuff, I think. There's a couple tracks here and there, you know, he'll finish good, but I think overall, on average, he's not, you know, he's not doing that well. So something needs to change on his team. You know, and it may be that he's putting so much emphasis on, you know, Kevin Harvick and, you know, Danica Patrick and his other stablemates that, you know, he's not focusing on himself, potentially. So, smoke needs to find the fire, man. You know?
Yeah, maybe some of his habits are catching up with him, too. He's always been known as not one of the most fitness guys in the car, and he's getting older, so maybe he can't quite keep it up anymore without doing the getting in the fitness plan like all the rest of the guys do. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know if that has anything to do with it.
Too many soda cookies, do you think?
Yeah, too many soda cookies.
Hey, I'm on your side.
All right. I'm not mad about it.
Well, didn't they start the race late last week because smoke was late?
Somebody was
making a comment about that. Yeah, mm-hmm. Like what's the holdup? Yeah, and then you see Tony Stewart strutting down the. It's like, oh Lord, here we go again.
Yeah,
that's the second. That's the second time this season he's done that.
Yeah, he's filling out that fire suit pretty good too. I'll be honest with you. I mean, he's packed on a couple of pounds. Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. He's packed on a few pounds lately. I don't know. I go back to the fact that maybe he's just not behind the wheel enough. I don't know. And to your point, Sidekick, there seems to be some question as to whether or not he needs to change his crew chief, and maybe some kind of message has to be sent. It has to be alarming when... And no complete disrespect to Danica Patrick, but when Danica Patrick's numbers and finishes are better than the owner of the team, boy, that's got to be, I mean, that's a spotlight. That puts a spotlight on him. Now he's, you know, we'll see. He's going to be starting from a reasonably good position today when we go out to Talladega, but as we all know, Talladega, Daytona, play tracks, they're kind of their own, that's their own animal. You know, it's different than the miles and the mile and a halfs, and it's different than short tracking, and it's different, obviously, than road racing. But clearly something has to give, and I don't know. I keep wondering, have I waited too long to see the best of him, or is he, you know, once again, with the new format, I guess one win and you're in, so it could be any day, right? Could be any day.
Yeah. And Tony Stewart's defense, he usually does, you know, really have a good summer when it gets good and hot in July and August. His dirt tracking skills lend to, you know, driving these big cup cars on slick, slippery, hot, greasy tracks, and he's usually a lot better in the summer. So, you know, I'm not ready to write him off. You know, he could come back. I mean, clearly his team's running. I mean, Kurt Busch and Harvick, and even Danica, they're all running really strong. So it's not equipment. And, you know, maybe it is a communication thing with the crew chief. I know they had a lot of changes. Maybe they're just not there yet. You know, it could come together. I'm not ready to rate him off yet, but, you know, he might want to start thinking about his future, just being the owner and not necessarily a full-time driver, that's for sure.
Yeah, you might be right about that. Anyone's out there, give us a call. Join us for some conversation here. We're at the bottom of the hour already. How quickly 30 minutes will pass. 347-826-9964. We're chatting up NASCAR ahead of today's big event, the big one. As I say, we may see multiple big ones. We certainly had multiple big ones last night. I sat and watched the Xfinity run at Talladega. I had watched earlier the ARCA race, which also was at Talladega. That, too, featured a lot of scary moments. At least one driver sent to the hospital in that ARCA event. So we know this Talladega track can be crazy, treacherous stuff. But before we do that, let's chat a couple of things that popped up this week on a couple of drivers that we've highlighted and mentioned so far. And I want to get your guys' take on the Danica Patrick thing, because obviously it's created a lot of buzz this week. As we know, Patrick, who's 33, will not have primary sponsor GoDaddy for the number 10 Stewart Haas Racing Chevy going forward in 2016. Now, they are willing, however, to extend a personal service contract with Patrick. So, to me, I guess my first thought was, you know, the decision by GoDaddy seems more directed at the sport than it does the beneficiary. So, in other words, as the benefactor, GoDaddy is saying, I don't know if NASCAR is the way we want to spend our sponsorship dollars going forward. However, we don't seem to have a problem with our spokesperson, Danica Patrick. Therefore, we're going to extend a personal service contract. Now, her other sponsors of note in 2015 are Aspen Dental, which we've seen on her vehicle as the primary sponsor. Tax Act is also another primary sponsor that we've seen on her vehicle. She's a spokesperson for Tissot Watches, which is a Swiss watch company, and they actually are very prominently featured on her website. Haas Automotive, obviously, is another sponsor, and Coca-Cola, because we know she's a member of the, I guess, the Coca-Cola racing team. But here we are. We kind of talked about
it. She's also a spokesperson for Revo Sunglasses as well, that you'll see her on. Well, especially tied into her Facebook page, they show her at the track wearing the sunglasses.
Okay.
So there's another personal deal. I guess that more is like a personal services deal.
Right.
Okay.
Now, so, interestingly, we're in contract year, so go. Go ahead, Sidekick. We're in a contract year. She's up for a contract. Obviously, GoDaddy's not coming back to renew a contract. Go ahead.
So let me get this straight. GoDaddy says, we don't want to sponsor the car anymore, but we'll offer you a personal services contract, which sounds to me kind of like, we're still going to put you in ads in bikinis,
right?
But we don't know if we want to sink all this money into sponsoring your car.
Right.
I.e., we don't know if you're doing as much for us as we're doing for you.
Well, that's not her, though. I get the argument, but isn't that more directed to the sport rather than to
Death? Yeah, well, that could come down
that's kind of a joke.
Come down to just dollars, though. I mean, they're probably paying $15 million a year as the primary sponsor. You know, they could roll
they
down to becoming, the personal
million.
Service. Yeah, they could be the personal service and an associate sponsor on the car, you know, the little logos. And they probably put out $2-3 million. That's probably what they're looking at doing. Now, the only way that would work would be, or maybe even sponsor the car for a race or two, you know, kind of like Aspen Dental and TaxAct did. This is where, and I think this will happen for Danica. I think you will get one or two, you know, mid-sized companies who want to cash in on the female, only female running in the sport, and the second most popular driver. I think they will put together a package, you know, kind of like you see with Carl Edwards over the years. He'll roll Subway out for a handful of races. Gordon's ran Pepsi for a handful of races.
Yep.
She gets two or three of them lined up, she'll be fine. And I think because she's running better this year, and clearly TV is not going to let us forget she's running better because we hear it every race, which is fine. You know, I think she'll be okay. Yeah, I know. But if it's anybody else, you know, you don't hear shit about Truex, you don't hear anything about Martin Truex, who's actually, you know, running head and shoulders better than most people, and you don't hear them fall over him like they do on her. So, but nonetheless, I think she's going to be all right. And I think she might end up staying where she is. I mean, if you look at it, she's tied into the whole Hendrick Jr., Stuart Haas, you know, big gear, because she started running for Junior, you know, and then switched into the Stuart Haas, which is a quasi Hendrick team. So she's already in the best loop, I would imagine.
Right.
So,
well, and is it from a business perspective? You know, you got to think the reason you're sponsoring is to get your name out there, and to get business,
right?
You know, and. Right. You know, like you see Red Bull, Monster Energy, 5-Hour Energy, some of these things where, you know, they're everywhere. They're any kind of motorsports or adrenaline-based thing. You see these energy drink sponsors, right?
Yep.
But how much business is GoDaddy potentially bringing in? How much web hosting business is GoDaddy potentially bringing in from NASCAR fans?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, is it maybe they're saying, hey, you know, we're not quite seeing, you know, that much business,
the return,
you know, from our NASCAR segment. So maybe we'll take our money and we'll put it someplace else where we think we might get more from. You know what I mean? It could
absolutely
be something like, you know,
absolutely.
At the end of the day, you got to think about that. You know, the reason you get sponsors is because they're trying to get, you know, they're trying to bring in business.
They want a return. Well, listen, I mean, it's not lost on anybody, and we've chatted about it. The title sponsor for the series is going to up and leave in another year and a half. And that be Sprint itself. Sprint is pulling out of NASCAR. I mean, Sprint and their logo is all over everything in the sport. And so there's a good example of exactly what you're saying, Sidekick. You know, here's a sponsor that's saying, you know what, we've enjoyed the ride, but it's the law of diminishing return. We're not getting back the bang for the buck. Interestingly enough, you know, GoDaddy, they've been with Patrick since 2007. I mean, they sponsored her IndyCar vehicle way back when she was driving for Andretti Green, going back. I mean, Motorola was with her. XM Radio were with her going, you know, from 2007. So it's almost about eight years that she's had that sponsor on a vehicle at some level. And clearly, although she struggled through the transition into stock car racing, they've maintained, and it sounds as though they're going to continue. So let's play a little bit of what if. Let's speculate what if, just for fun. If Stuart Haas decides to move on and they opt out from Danica Patrick, what driver would make sense? And I threw some opportunities, some different ideas of who might fill in the event that SHR decides they need another driver for the number car and they're going to maintain a Ford driver stable. Who would make sense to fill in? Or on the flip side, if Danica's released, what team might be willing to grab her up as maybe a replacement driver? Or maybe we want to expand from a one- or two-car team into a three- or four-car team. Any thoughts on that idea? What if Danica winds up being a free agent?
Well, I personally seem to – I think they're going to probably find a way to make it work the way it is because they already got, you know, the state – the yeah, the Tax Act and the Aspen Dental were new this year. So that's probably got some continuation dollars. And they're all tied to, you know, they all have the images of her with the 10 car. And they don't, you know, sponsors like that don't like switching a lot of change-ups if they can avoid it. Because once they have their promotional material made, you know, they don't want to have to remake it, et cetera. So I think, I personally think she will. If she doesn't, you know, there's a laundry list of guys who'd be in there. But how about one that nobody ever thinks of? Reagan Smith, who filled in for Kurt Busch earlier this year. He's like the super sub all of a sudden whenever anybody's out for a race. And he's kind of been in that you know, chain for a while driving for Junior Motorsports. He might deserve a full-time run. He might not be a bad guy to see in that car full-time if it's open.
Yeah, very good option. That's a very good option. Go ahead. Give the wheel a spin. What do you say, Sidekick? What do you say? Any thoughts on what if Danica's a free agent? Would she get picked up? Or does Stuart Haas want to move in another direction? It's end of contract time anyway. GoDaddy is go bye-bye. Maybe it's time to, as Brandon recommended, let's bring in a Reagan Smith. What do you think?
Yeah, honestly, I don't know if she would get picked up by another team.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, because basically when she decided she was coming over to NASCAR, basically you had Junior and Stewart that were both kind of courting her, you know, trying to get her, you know, trying to get
right.
her. You had her racing for Junior Motorsports. They're, I believe, down in the Xfinity Series.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, then she came up on Stuart Haas
right.
For her Sprint Cup run and that. So I don't know if she gets dropped, if there's many other teams that are out there that are going to be wanting to pick her up. I mean, you got some of these, you know, smaller teams, but I don't know if they got the money for her.
Well, I'll tell you what, Roush needs to do something. I don't think they would take a bath if they wanted to try to bring a Danica over there to run Ford Fusions. I mean, that one jumps out to me. That, unfortunately, that team just – now, maybe today, we'll see. They have had a good restrictor plate program in the past. Biffle can run. We've seen Stenhouse have a reasonably good amount of success. You know, not great, obviously, he's Ricky Stenhouse, but okay. And you know, we've been waiting for Hornish to do something, and I think he's starting from almost his best position all year today at – when we kick up in Dega. But Roush certainly needs something, and maybe something as simple as bringing this gal over might be all it takes to, like, you know, pop the cork and get them going, get the genie out of the bottle, as it were.
Yeah. It could be. Maybe. It depends. Here's the deal. She's going to get...
Conversation killer there, Uncle Mark.
Well, no. She's going to bring...
Anyway.
Somebody is going to bring her some sponsor dollars to the table. Because it's just natural. She's always second in the most popular driver voting. And she is the only female that is going to attract some sponsors. So she will have money to bring to the table. So, you know, I think any place... You know, I everything I've read is she wants to stay at Stuart Haas, and Stuart Haas has not suffered from her relationship with her. I think they've had a pretty good, you know, she gives them lots of exposure, and, you know, she brought in lots of sponsors. I think she's helped that team. I don't think they're in a hurry to get rid of her.
No, I agree with you. So, I think if there's anyone worried, it's probably Tony Stewart right now for the loss of those dollars. I would agree with you from that standpoint, Brandon.
I'm sure they're working on it. I'm sure they're working on it already. They probably have been working on it long before GoDaddy announced it, because they knew their contracts are coming up. So we'll see. I wouldn't be shocked if come July we hear, Danica got a new sponsor for, you know, 10 races next year. You know, once you start hearing that stuff drop, then the rest will fall into place.
Uh-huh. Final thought here before we move off of the Danica GoDaddy, go bye-bye thing. This week, you know, there's been chatter, and of course it's all idle chatter, but that's what we do here, folks. That's what keeps us coming to you every Sunday. 347-826-9964. Call us up and call us out. Danica, interestingly enough, you know, chatting personal life now. She's thinking about a family. She's wondering seriously if the... her and Ricky have maybe it's time to take that next step. You know, on the other side, Ricky, I don't know, does he even shave yet? You know, he's saying, well, I don't know if I'm into getting married yet. But we've kind of heard some of that under churning. It hasn't been loud and out front, but we've kind of heard a little earth a rumble underneath from Patrick herself, kind of maybe setting the table. Or does she just want to spin for social media purposes the idea that, well, maybe I'm starting to, at 33, rethink what direction I want to go? So maybe, I don't know, is there anything to that?
It could be. If she seriously does want to have children, it's probably not the best thing to do while you're driving a race car. I, as a matter of fact, I don't even know that NASCAR would allow that risk to happen, to be honest with you, of a pregnant woman racing a car, because we had a similar thing in NHRA with Ashley
Force,
the oldest daughter. Yeah, she stepped away for a few years to have some kids. She's had two now, and there's rumblings that she may want to race again some point in the future. But
yeah, but she has not stepped back, right?
She's come and tested with the other sisters. In other words, she got in Courtney's car last year at one of their tests after an event, and she went out and went faster than everybody else did in the funny car. So,
wow.
I guess that was pretty rewarding for herself to show she still had it.
Yeah,
but,
right, exactly.
You know, I don't think she'd be getting in the car taking test pass if she didn't still have the itch to, you know, maybe
to
do this
again. To
get
out there and compete. Absolutely right. Absolutely right. Now, let's turn this over and talk, you know, obviously the Toyota driver that made the news this week. And you know, I guess my question will be for David Ragan, you know, is this a good thing for David Ragan? Is it a bad thing for David Ragan that he's finally going to get and keep a cup ride for the rest of the year? I believe I had read earlier this week that he said, well, on the upside, and of course he's saying all the right things. He's 29 years old, which I found interesting. That makes him the same age as Kyle Busch. He's certainly not a youngster, and he's certainly not an oldster. But he's quietly, you know, kind of been behind the scenes for most of his career. But he's obviously very grateful for all of the opportunities, and I think one has become another, and hopefully this will become a third and maybe the best for him. But on one hand, the Michael Waltrip group doesn't seem to be a powerhouse team. At the same time, not bad equipment. They're working with TRD, and he's going to, as he said, keep the car for the rest of the year. Is it a good thing? Who comes out as the beneficiary? This is a win-win for David Ragan, Michael Waltrip, right?
Yeah, I would see it that way. He's already, you know, pretty high up in points. He pulls a win out, he'll be a chase contender for sure. He still may make it in points. He doesn't wreck cars. I think it's a good thing. And, you know, for Michael Waltrip, that may have been a necessity because Aaron's was, you know, with the Vickers thing the last few years, Vickers hasn't been able to run a full season and not really been involved with a championship run because of that, because of his health. So this may be the a way to keep everybody happy, you know what I mean? Keep Aaron's happy, keep Michael Waltrip happy, give David Ragan a shot. And who knows, if it turns into something, maybe it'll become more than just this year. I feel bad for Vickers. Vickers might end up being the odd man out, but, you know, there's going to be a point where somebody's going to say to Vickers, hey, you just got to watch your health. You can't, you need to be on these blood thinners, and you can't race on blood thinners. And that may end up just, unfortunately, being the end of his career. I mean, every time he gets off of them, something else comes up, and then, you know. I feel bad for the guy. He's a very nice guy, and he seems like a very talented driver. But every time he sort of gets a little momentum going, something pops up again with his health.
Yeah, so. And of course there's speculation that Michael Waltrip may want to go to a three-car team next year.
Well,
so that
yeah.
does not necessarily prevent a return of Vickers, assuming
no.
he's healthy, of course. At the same time, to your point, Brandon, I'll be honest with you, if Vickers did return health, and was able to get back in and pilot a vehicle, I'll tell you what, if I'm front row racing, I'm thinking about him as a guy to run with Truex. If I am, you know, in the Roush stable, I'm thinking about maybe a Vickers to come in and anchor against some of those youngsters, because we've talked about some of the upcoming youngsters that are running right now in Xfinity and have a good future. I mean, the future for Roush in terms of some of their pilots looks very strong, even though right now today they don't have the, you know, the stable that we'd all dream of. It's kind of a shame. I mean, looking at Reagan's career, but for you know, the end of the 2012 season when UPS pulled funding from Roush and left poor David Ragan standing there, helmet in hand and without a ride, he might have actually, you know, at that point, 3 years later, 4 years later, David Ragan could be a top flight driver, you know, but he's kind of bounced around. And, you know, front row signed him in 2012. He's gone through a turnstile of sponsors and race events. He's been in all three national series. He's won a couple at plate tracks, as we know. He did win Talladega. You know, I'm hoping the kid will find something. I'm not sure what's going on with Michael Waltrip, why they aren't stronger than they are. As we know, Michael himself will be running the 55 today. Moffitt is going to, you know, go back and, I guess, continue to be a developmental driver. And essentially then it's going to be, you know, David Ragan and Clint Bowyer. So what do we think? Can we expect to see, is there reason to believe, David Reagan's going to get a win this year? No? It's going to be with Waltrip, maybe, if he doesn't do it today. Fair to say or no?
Yeah, it's pretty fair to say he has a chance for sure. He's in a good enough equipment. You're right, today might be the day. I mean, the Gibbs guys do run good down there, and we know that 18 cars won down there at Talladega quite a few times. We've seen it. So he might be, you know, and his past, you know, restrictor plate racing has been off the hook. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know, Sidekick, what do you think? You think we could see the 18 car up front today?
I think it's an outside chance. And that,
well,
you know.
It depends, though. You know, when we get these big, the big ones and take out 16, 17 cars, that's when you see a guy like David Ragan got through clean who could come out with a win. You know, you never know what to expect sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, he's Ragan is usually pretty safe, like we've mentioned, and brings the car home. Unfortunately, Talladega is just one of those crapshoots.
Yep.
You know what I mean? You know, you get caught up in something. You're not even, you know, part of anything, and you get caught up in something. You know, and that could be, exactly. You know, and that could be any driver out there. You know what I mean? You get the big one. You know, you got half the field out there that could be, and that's when you see these. Then you see these people that get their one win. You know, like Cole Witt somebody like that.
David Gilliland.
David Gilliland, he's going to come through for you.
Exactly.
He could do it.
The final lap, you get that big wreck on the final lap, and who comes squirting through? Dan Kabatzer could get a win.
Absolutely. Well, I understand that she, we were talking about her earlier. She is going to have a couple of new sponsors on today's ride. I believe Diet Pork Rinds and Prune Candy are both going to be featured prominently on her car this week. So watch out for the...
what
really?
Are they? Diet
Pork Rinds?
Diet Pork Rinds really? and Prune Candy. Absolutely. Haven't you seen Talladega Nights? Is there anybody out there?
the movie. Okay.
No.
Right.
Oh, come on.
Gotcha.
Yeah, well, listen, here we go. We're going to the 2.666-mile tri-oval behemoth. This is the largest one. We've got crazy, 34-degree banking on all four turns. The dogleg tri-oval, that's about 17 degrees banking. This is a monster. It's just a monster. I mean, there's rumor that it's cursed. There's rumor that it has a jinx. It goes back to the Native American origins of a chief that was killed in the valley. No, wait a second. It's an Indian burial ground. It was, as we know, a U.S. installation at one time, and you can still see the landing strip that runs through and across part of Talladega. True or not, there's been some strange occurrences, and we're going to see speeds of over 200 miles an hour. We all know the story following Bobby Allison's vehicle going airborne. They put the restrictor plate in track. Are they ever going to eliminate restrictor plates? I mean, you say no, right, Brandon? That'll never, ever, ever happen. They're going
maybe plates, but they're always going to have some form of lowering the horsepower. You know what I mean? They're never going to let them run an 800 horsepower car.
Yeah, what are we talking about now? Tapered spacers is essentially what they've done, I guess, on the mile and a halfs, right?
Right.
And it's sort of the same. It's for the same principle, right? It's to maintain a little bit lower horsepower so the cars don't go up and off.
Yeah, they just don't want anybody going upside down. They have other ways now they can do it. You know, with they have fuel injection, they can control the computer to restrict stuff, but I'm not sure. I guess for now they're just going to stick with the restrictor plates because that's what they've always done. But I don't ever see them just saying, you can run whatever under a standard rules package, at a regular track. Because, I mean, Bill Elliott went 212 back in the day, early 90s at Talladega, and those cars nowhere near the horsepower or aerodynamics we got now. If they could keep it on the track, they might see 240 now. So,
that would be awesome, though. There is a part of me, that says, boy, I love the speed. I mean, that would be wild if they could keep the car from lifting off the ground. I mean, that would be.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
of course,
the wreck,
one car
would be spectacular if you made contact.
Yeah, a guy like Tony Stewart or, a true driver, if you give them. Yeah, wheelman, there you go. Give them an unrestricted car and let them go by. I'm sure it'd be fun as an exhibition, but you couldn't have 43 of them at the same time. It'd be insane. Now, you see the air coming off the cars now making them spin. At that speed, it would be just exponentially worse. And then as soon as they get sideways, they'd be flipping over and barrel rolling, and it would just – I don't even know you'd get through the race, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Well, Sidekick, you made mention of it. You can get the first-time winners, and there's been a lot of chatter. I sat and watched a bit of qualifying and practice over the weekend, for Sprint Car and Xfinity. And, of course, Darrell Waltrip, DW, he wants to talk about, we've had a number of racers here that they've won for the first time. But, everybody seems to want to think, is he alluding to, is this going to be Danica's weekend? Because I don't know, there seems to be something between DW and DP. You know, he kind of does kiss up to her pretty good. So some folks are speculating that must be the intonation that, in fact, she's going to win. This will be her first win, and first-time winners happen here. I was looking back, Sidekick, at the spring race wins over the last 5 years, and to me, it's a pretty ho-hum list of the usual suspects. Kevin Harvick won in 2010. Jimmy Johnson won 2011. Brad Keselowski won 2012. We mentioned David Reagan. He was with Front Row. He won in 2013. Denny Hamlin won it last year in the spring race. Well, I don't see any new names there. What do you think? I mean, Logano, good Lord, he ran the Daytona. So if we look back at, you know, I guess the last play track, there's Joey Logano. He won it last year. I mean, are we going to see the wrecks or is it going to be? Get ready. It's Gordon. He's running from the pole. Mark it down. What do you think?
Good question. I don't think you're going to see Gordon off the pole. I don't think you really see anybody off the pole win at Dega. That's just off the top of my head. That's not a statistical thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you do have the potential, like David Reagan. You know, the rest of the names all are pretty familiar. You know, Johnson, Boyer, Hamlin. You know,
right.
The one that sticks out there would be a David Reagan.
Right.
You know,
yep.
But also at the same time, in that time frame that you've talked about, we've had this change to the car tomorrow and then the tweak of the car tomorrow plus one,
correct,
and car
right
tomorrow plus two, where they're getting these cars where they're much more they're sturdier cars and, you know, and stuff like that. So I think that's why you're, you know, potentially starting to see where, you know, it's mostly the regular big name drivers that we see each time. You know, and then, you know, you've eliminated pack racing to where it was just the two-car tandems, and then it's kind of going back to pack racing, and, you know, so I think there's a lot of factors in there.
Yeah, interestingly, the rule still remains at Xfinity level where bumpers cannot touch for a period. You can't latch on, but evidently they've relaxed that for the Sprint Cup cars this year. So you know, we could actually see, you know, bumper to bumper pushing, bumper to bumper drafting. But in Xfinity, they did send out a warning yesterday to the drivers. We want to see space between bumpers. Well, I recall that from last year at the Sprint Cup level, but evidently that has been somewhat relaxed. Brandon, looking at Talladega, it's impossible to miss the Earnhardt name. My goodness, Dale Sr., most wins at the track, he has 10. And to his credit, Dale Jr. has the most consecutive race wins here with 4. Hard not to like Earnhardt today because we've just mentioned, you know, Harvick, Johnson, Keselowski, Hamlin. We're seeing a top gun pretty much come through, at least in the spring race. Hard not to like Junior, right?
Oh, I agree. Yeah, as a matter of fact, here's a spoiler alert. He's going to be my Eat My Dust guy, you know, coming up in the fantasy. I'm sitting here as we're sitting here wearing my Dale Junior shirt ready for this race. I think he's going to win. He's just
crush.
Yeah, he's
thank
just
you
very good.
Thank you. I was just thinking that.
Very good at these tracks.
I
can't
was
deny
just
it
thinking it, too. Nice job. Whoever get it, nice job. Well, no, I would agree with you, and we're going to get into that. 347-826-9964. If you're out there and you want to climb aboard with us, we're going to go a little bit over time, take you close to the bottom of the hour. But we are chatting NASCAR. All things NASCAR, and I agree. I think I like the 88 myself. Maybe what we could do, I don't have my music here, do I? Is there any over the pit wall stories? I shared a couple things up over on the outline. I don't know if any of you had a thought for our over the pit wall segment today. One of the things, I guess, go ahead.
Well, I was looking at those stories, and what caught my eye was the slump between Larson and Dillon. And, you know, it's kind of, I was a little shocked. I thought both of those were going to have better seasons, especially Larson. I mean, I was really expecting Larson to, you know, keep building on what he finished with last year. I mean, he was knocking on the door. We were waiting for him to just win a race. And, you know, yeah, he's not had horrible runs, but he's more in the back of the top 10 now instead of the top five. And Austin Dillon, you know, I don't know where he's been all year. I mean, he's doing all right when he goes and plays in the other series, but
yes, he
does. In sprint, he's just been invisible, really. He's not wrecking cars, but he's been, you know, kind of invisible. Maybe we'll see him today. You know, Childress has always been very good at restrictor plates, so I'd keep an eye on Dillon and Paul Menard,
certainly,
you know, Ryan
car.
Newman, and of course the 78 car, which is like a satellite car for them. So,
right.
Truex. So, I think you'll see some noise from some of them today. I hope.
Mm-hmm. What do you make of it? Anything there, Sidekick? They're saying Justin Allgaier is the hot guy. I mean, he's another rookie that we look at from last year. When we mentioned Larson, we mentioned Dillon. That was our first and second. The third guy there was Justin Allgaier. He had a surprisingly good couple of runs that he's kind of piggybacked in a row. Turns out, you know, they did do a tire audit. They took three sets of tires from the 51 after last week's run at Richmond. So I guess that's NASCAR saying, hey, where did this guy come from? We want to audit that kid's tires. Matter of fact, make it three sets. Let's look at them all. What do you make of it? Justin Allgaier, is he about due? He's one of those guys we're waiting for, too.
Yeah, there's a couple guys. I mean, we're still waiting. You know, we've been talking about Larson, you know, and this may be a good track, you know. Larson has run here relatively well for the two seasons that he's been here. You know, we could see, old boy Larson there, up there. Actually, I call him old boy, but, you know, he's a young guy. But
looks like he can't even shave yet. Mark said earlier about Ricky.
Ricky Patrick, not shaving. I would agree with
you. Well, hey, we could
Kyle is youngster, but he's got a youngster, right? My goodness.
Yeah, we could see the mullet up there.
Bah. See the mullet.
Well, once again, you know, I mean, it could be all in the family going forward. We'll get him over there with Roush, and he'll be running with it'll be the husband and wife duo for Roush Fenway next year. Who can say? I don't know. Rookie of the Year, there's just one this year. I mean, that's kind of a surprise to me. It's almost like, who cares? We had such a tremendous crop of youngsters last year, right? I mean, in addition to the three we mentioned, you know, who else did we have? We had Michael Annette, right? He was running last year. Help me out. There were a couple more.
Wasn't Cole Witt in there, too?
Cole Witt, right. There's one, right. Brad House friend
Parker,
Cole Witt.
Parker Klingerman in there for a while.
Didn't really do much, right? I think he might be running open wheel.
Alex Bowman,
I think.
Jason Annette was in there, I think.
Well, right, Michael Annette, Alex Bowman.
Michael Annette, that's right.
Right? So we had, I mean, there were a lot of rookies, and they were fun to watch. And I'll be honest with you, from a fantasy standpoint, I think I plugged all of those guys in at least one time as a back marker or that kind of thing in my fantasy team. But this year it's Jeb Burton. I'm doing a little Civil War stuff there for you. Jeb Burton's doing it, and I mean, geez, not terribly exciting, is it? I mean, we kind of missed out.
Not even making races.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. He's not even qualifying, you know, but he's going to win it simply because at the end of the day, he will have consistently, I guess, run through enough events that, well, you know, I don't know. Yeah,
he wins
one of the
fights for all.
Yes. Absolutely right. Even if he completely slumps against the wall, it really won't matter. And finally, just a nice gesture, I thought, that Harvick sent on behalf of the anniversary of Dale Sr.'s birthday. He sent a signed diecast with Sr.'s signature to Junior, and I thought that was a really, really cool. I got to say, you know, top shelf idea. I don't know. You saw the article, right, man?
Yep.
I thought that was a
yeah.
nice move. Really nice move.
Yeah, it was. It was cool. And, you know, you got to see a little bit of history with the car when you see the pictures. It was neat.
Absolutely.
It was done very well.
Yeah. Nice job by Harvick to do that. Okay, what we're going to do, we're going to shift gears because obviously we've got to consider what's going to happen today with our fantasy picks. And if anybody's out there and you want to climb aboard with us, you still have time. 347-826-9964. We're going to give a round of applause to our own Bradmouth Lake and our Eat My Dust pick last week came through with the winning driver, so we had to give him a shout out. I'm not sure if he's going to join us live or not for his fantasy picks. However, we are getting to that time where Sidekick, we're going to need some good advice from you. Everybody knows you've got the winning formula, so why don't you give us a share? Who's going to win at Talladega? Who should we place on our roster while there's still some time?
Well, this is Talladega, and you might as well throw darts at a dartboard. Because the big one, you know, kind of like we saw a couple weeks ago at Bristol, you know, here you're going to see a big one, and your whole team can go out in one accident. So,
oh, no!
It's true. Just watch the chat room today as everybody goes, ah, you know? So the picks for this weekend, I'm telling you, for the show team, Reed's Eastbound and Downers that have really been taking some downers this season.
Yeah.
Not doing too well. We're going to ride the, number four, Kevin Harvick. We're going to run, I've Got an Itch, the number 15 Clint Boyer.
I can't believe it.
We're going to run the 78 Truex Jr. We're going to go with that kid David Reagan in the 18. And we're going to monitor and see what his value drops to next week. Right now he's running at about a 10.25.
Right.
So he may not drop that much.
His value may hold so, and they'll simply transfer him over, right?
Yeah. And then the number 40, Landon Castle.
Okay.
I'm going with Clint Boyer as my winner and Toyota as my manufacturer.
Nice. I like it. Good for you.
So over on the spring rubber.
Right.
The personal one.
Yep.
We're going with Kevin Harvick, the number four. We're going with the 88 of Dale Jr., the 42 of Kyle Larson.
Nice.
The 38 of David Gilliland.
Yep.
The 46 of Michael Annette.
Yep.
My race winner will be Kevin Harvick, manufacturer Chevy. And I'm going to go with the 4 as my Eat My Dust pick for the week.
Got it.
Because I don't want to pick Junior, even though I got Junior's probably got the best chance on my roster. But yeah, Brandon's picking him, so I'm gonna go with somebody different.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, right. I got you. Got to switch it up. All right, I like it. So let's move it over because I guess the question is after going. What do you think, Brandon?
Well,
what's your recommendation for today's roster? We've got the winners. So.
A little different, yeah. I'm definitely going with Dale Jr. as Eat My Dust, the winner in Chevrolet, that's for sure. I think Dale Jr. is going to be up front a lot. Even if he doesn't win the race, even if he finishes second or third, he's going to get a lot of fantasy points just by leading laps. I also have Kevin Harvick and Brad Keselowski on my team this week.
Yep.
Along with David Reagan, and I'm giving that Chris Buescher a shot today. He's driving the front row car, which David Reagan won in. So, you know, they've had some luck at Talladega. He's been running well in lower series, so we're going to go for a nice $7 value. I took a shot on Chris Buescher.
Awesome. I love it. Yeah, Chris Buescher, 34, I believe, right? I think he's the 34
car.
I might have the – all right. Did I get
That's
the right
David
number?
Reagan's David Reagan's front row car when he before he started driving all the other ones. So, yeah, we're going to go with that.
All right. That sounds good. Now, I guess what we want to do is we want to welcome in, I believe we've got our own Frat House Mike with us this morning. Frat House Mike, are you live and in living color with us?
Well, yeah. Okay. Yes, sir.
Yes,
sir.
Some good friends.
There you go.
Tonight
you go.
Is kind of special. Here we'll pour.
There you go.
Must say something more somehow. So tonight,
gotta love it. All right. So Brandon, your Eat My Dust was that Junior?
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Okay, that's what I thought. All right. Yep. Just wanted to make sure so that when I put the graphic up over on our Frat House Sports Facebook page, just get over there and give that a like, folks. It will be accurate. All right. So I guess you want my awesome team here, and gentlemen, I must tell you, I feel very very good about this team this week. Very. Yes. Are you all ready? Here we go.
Yeah, we are.
All right. We're going to go with Gordon, Jr., Stewart.
Wow.
All right. Gordon, Jr., Stewart, Truex, and Reagan. And I'm going with my winner being Gordon.
That's a bit of a departure.
That's a strong team. That's a strong team.
There seems to be no sign of intelligent life anywhere.
Yeah.
Look at all them Chevys. You got Jr. and Gordon and mm-hmm. Stewart. Wow.
Yep.
All the Toyotas got sent to showers except for Reagan.
Listen, what are they doing? What are they doing?
They're running all right, yeah. Yeah, I hear you. I guess it's time for Uncle Mark's.
Yeah, I guess I'll
hey,
wait. It
which is your Eat My Dust? Was it Gordon?
Gordon.
Yep, Gordon.
Yep, Gordon.
Well, you know, looking at Daytona, it was such a Ford dominated spot. You know, I had a hard time. I kind of struggled this week in the Uncle Mark with the Uncle Mark team. I actually have two teams, so I tried to make it up on the other side. But the Uncle Mark team, this is where we're going to go. I like the 14. I like the 18. I'm going to run the 21 car because the Wood Brothers, they just keep showing up. They have a collaborative agreement, do they not also, Brandon?
Penske.
So there you go. There's the Ford. There's my Ford influence there. So I'll go with the 21. I am going to go with the 48 car. He's got one of the best driver ratings at the track. But the winner is going to be the 88 Chevy. Eat My Dust. I am going with Junior. And I struggled. I got to be honest. That's a heavy Chevy influence on the Uncle Mark side. As I say, on my other team, I tried to balance it a little more. I did a little more Toyota. I did a little more Ford on the other side. But that is the official. Stewart, Reagan, 21, the Johnson car, and the Junior car. And that's how I see it going. Well, here we are. We're down to the bottom of the hour. Now, here's, I guess, what we should say, since we have you with us, Frat House Mike. There is no NHRA running for a couple of weeks. That's going to kick up again the weekend of May 15 to 17. What do we got? Summit, Southern Nationals. That'll be
right.
Coming to us from Atlanta. So I guess our Frat House Mike NHRA updates and info spot, that's going to resume on, wait a second.
We'll
that'll
pick that
be
up
next. Friday evening.
We'll pick
next
that up on
Friday.
Friday
evening. Correct.
Actually, I think it would be the week after. Yeah, it would be the week after. Because next Friday will be the 8th. So when we come back.
Right, the following week.
Yeah,
and
we will have two Friday programs in a row.
However, we are going to be going next Friday evening on the 8th because we're coming to you ahead, right? Because we're going to be at our next spot. To head is out to Kansas, and
mm-hmm.
that's going to be a Saturday evening race. We assume it's Saturday evening, right, Brandon? It won't be rained into Sunday.
Well, I hope not.
Yeah, right.
We've had enough of that.
We've had enough of that already. And Sidekick, you will be able to join us for that as well. Is that right? Next Friday evening, ahead of
yes.
the Kansas race. Be checking in with us from Frat House Midwest. And, of course, that'll bring, you know, we'll have all of our own speculation and prognostication and expectoration and all the nonsense that we bring and fantasy mayhem that we can possibly offer. That should
well, we
be a good
to have
time.
The pizza party, too. That's the pizza party night. See,
oh, exactly, right.
You know, I appreciate the fact you all saved me, you know, the custard donut today. That was great. I had the custard donut.
You
so.
Ate the custard donut?
Yeah, yeah, that was good, yeah. But, you know, next week I look forward to the pizza and the beer. In the garage.
I agree with you. I like doing the evening. I like the evening race. I agree with you. It's kind of fun. Or the evening show ahead of the evening race. It is kind of fun. We do get a chance to switch gears instead of getting, like, tuned up, and we can actually wind down after a full day of working and that. We pop a couple cold ones, have some pizza, and
that's
sit
right.
back.
Well, that's when I start getting tuned up.
Yeah, well, you're actually better at night anyway. You've always been a night owl, Fred House, Mike. That's
true.
The thing. If we could do these shows, friends, at like 2 in the morning, 2:30 in the morning.
That'd be great.
He'd be great. He would be great. Yep. There is no two ways around it. Okay, well, let's do this. We're going to share the Frat House Sports Radio Network schedule. Correct me on anything that I get wrong here, but here's how we broadcast, friends, and if you're out there listening, please find time to tune in with us. On Monday evening, we bring you the Stitches program. That is a multi-sports program, brand new to Frat House Sports. Just come on board. Who are the hosts there with us, Frat House Mike, on Stitches?
John and Harold. John and Harold will be joining you tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Eastern time.
There you go. Okay. And that's a brand-new program, and, of course, they do it live. You can call in 347-826-9964 with your thoughts, observations. They do talk a full range of sports, no doubt. They'll be chatting some probably baseball. They might be touching on the Pacquiao-Mayweather fight. Who knows?
Oh, yeah.
They kind of run the gamut as we do here, and that's why they fit in with the Frat House Sports mode. On Tuesday, Cleanup Hitters, that too, hosted by our own Frat House Mike this week. Frat House Mike, you have who's your guest host, do you know, for this week?
Yeah, I believe I have, this week will be Nick and Sean.
Nick and Sean. They are all fun. There are a group of three hosts that work in with Frat House Mike on the Cleanup Hitters All Major League Baseball program. That comes to you on Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock right here on the Frat House Sports Radio Network. Of course, on Thursdays, the flagship Frat House Sports Show. Brandon, you're with us on Thursdays. Sidekick, we're hoping to get you back with us going forward as your schedule and domicile and that kind of thing finally changes and goes forward through the summer. We're hoping we can get you back, but always welcome, Sidekick, you know. To join us on Thursday, right? 7 o'clock, folks. All of those three shows, Monday's Stitches program, Tuesday Cleanup Hitters, Thursday Frat House Sports Show, all coming to you live at 7 o'clock p.m. Now, Saturday.
Big program on Thursday. Thursday we got Dennis Marouk joining us.
There you go. NHL guy.
Yep,
I think
former
he's an
NHLer.
An NHL guy. He played for a team that doesn't even exist anymore. That would be the Minnesota North Stars. So they're
started
some
old started
school.
Out with the California Golden Seals, too.
Oh,
there's another one that didn't exist.
There you go. We remember a guy that we had here in the old Broad Street Bullies that was a California Seal. You remember the guy's name there, Fred Housman?
Somebody with the Flyers?
Was it a
California Golden Seal? No, I don't know.
Ah, Reggie the Rifle. Reggie the Rifle Leach came to us. We acquired him in 19 for that first cup. We got him in 1973, late early 74, and he came over. He won with us. Now on Saturday, Frat House Mike brings you the Frat House Saturdays. That's a relaxed kickback. Come and join us at 2 o'clock. And Frat House Mike does a nice retrospective of all the broadcasts and programming brought to you through the week, including an occasional snippet from our gang right here in Gasoline Alley, our Race Trim Motorsports Hour. Occasionally you'll find a snippet or two from our program here on Sunday. So Frat House Saturday, join Frat House Mike. And, of course, he generally rants and raves about something because, you know, he tends to be a little nutty. He's there by himself. You know, it's okay, though, folks, because you know what it is? Nobody else joins him.
You're mocking me, aren't you?
I really don't mean to. But he's talking. He's by himself. So we encourage you to join in. Would you give the guy a call? He's talking to the wall.
Get it off his chest.
That must be what it is. He's talking to the wall. You know, he's talking to the cats.
I could scream about that fight last night. You know, I could do that next Saturday. But I'm afeared that by the time we get to Saturday next week, it's not going to matter. You know, so I'll have to find something else to scream about. But, boy, I could scream about that fight last night.
Well, you know,
nobody's going to remember that rate there. Nobody's going to remember that fight come next Saturday.
I know. That's my point. They shouldn't, anyhow. They really shouldn't.
Well, yeah. You know, I did have the opportunity to sit and watch it with Frat House Mike, and it paled in comparison to expectation. I guess that's the only way you can put it, you know. I guess after 5 years of hype, how do you stand up for that? You know, how do you put up enough, you know, put up or shut up? They wound up kind of shutting up. And never mind that, you know, Frat House Mike is probably feeling pretty vocal about the NFL draft, even though today we're doing a different type of drafting. I think if you stop by and talk to Frat House Mike, any of those shows this week, he's probably going to have a thing or two to say about Chip Kelly.
Why don't you drop by my office then?
And I'll tell you what I really think, right, Brad House Mike?
Yeah. Well, we got into a little bit of that yesterday with Jeff Warner from up at 1470 AM up in Lehigh Valley. We got into it a little bit.
And essentially, what did you say?
We couldn't do diddly poo.
Well, yeah, something like that. Actually, I'm going to be honest with you. I actually thought that the best pick that the Eagles made all the whole draft was when they came in at the fourth round and traded their fourth round away. I thought that was the best pick the Eagles made, was trading their fourth round away to the Detroit Lions in order to get next year's third round pick. I thought that was excellent.
Well, see, folks, there's always something. There's always something on Fred House Mike's mind, and he's going to tell you about it. And that's why we do it. So that's a pretty full slate. We run five different programs through the week. And, of course, we want to encourage you to come back. Again, a reminder, we are coming to you next Friday night at 7 o'clock. Join myself, my co-host Brandon, our favorite pilot from Frat House Midwest, Sidekick, as we preview the run that will be in Kansas. And, of course, we'll talk about all of what went on today at Talladega. If there was a big one, who is the winner? Are we going to see, as we've speculated today, is there going to be another first-time winner at this event? Is there going to be an eighth winning driver, or are we going to see a repeat driver? We've had seven winners through the nine events thus far. Gentlemen, thank you so much. It's always, always, always fun doing this on Sundays or Saturdays, whenever we can come to you pre-race. Final thought for anybody out there.
Hey, thank Uncle you. Mark, I got one.
Sure.
One final thought is I was cruising through my timeline. A motorsport that we don't really talk about that Brandon and I both are kind of into is the motocross. How about yesterday? Shout out to Vicky Golden to become the first female racer to qualify for the night show.
That's very cool. Yeah, I did have to come
awesome.
By that. What did you think of that, Brandon? Right.
Oh, it's good. It's about time. Yeah, they do have. They do run a separate. I don't think they do it for Supercross, but for outdoor series, they do run a separate women's series. It's nice to see, you know, because motorcycles. You know, you can have. We have that in other forms of racing and other forms of motorcycle racing, where you don't need to have a separate class for females. It's they can be just as competitive as males, and it was nice to see a woman make a Supercross race.
Absolutely, yeah. So, big shout-out to a shout-out to her from all of us here at Frat House Sports Garage. All right, gentlemen, I've been told in my ear it's time to get out of here. So, everybody, be sure to enjoy the race at Talladega. Don't forget to come back, kick the tires with us all here, your whole Frat House family, next Sunday. No?
Friday.
Friday.
Friday. 7 o'clock, we're going to be back, and we're going to talk all things motorsports. Gentlemen, enjoy the race, and don't forget to start your engines. Here we go to Talladega, baby.
hockey set. We almost got into a fight with him.